The Cat with the Stars in Her Eyes by Majestic Ducks.
What are you doing?
It was Ginny Weasley. Ginny, Luna corrected herself. They had been friends for a while now. Since third year? Or second? Time was so hard to keep track of, but now that they were actual friends, she could think of Ginny by her first name. And she would answer, but first she had to finish. The lines were important, and if one was out of place, the whole thing would be wrong. A helpful fish blew bubbles where the ear should go.
"Thank you," she murmured.
He flipped his tail and swam away, but a niffler took his place, sniffing at the new cat's tail.
"Unless you want me to draw on your nose, I would move, and it won't be shiny."
It wasn't a threat, but the niffler still backed away quickly. Once he was hiding behind a phoenix flower, Luna got back to work.
Luna?
Not that she wouldn't love her anyway. A little bit wonky didn't mean broken or bad. But if she was to do her job, then everything had to be...
Luna?
I've been told patience is a virtue.
She idly wondered if that was helpful. It probably wasn't. Although Luna was naturally very patient. She'd had to be. You'll never catch sight of a crumple-horned snorkack if you don't cultivate patience. Of course, Luna didn't practice that with people, at least not on purpose, and Ginny probably didn't want to find a crumple-horned snorkack. Probably didn't want to hear about it, either. Most people didn't, and left when she talked about it. But Ginny was her friend. Ginny would stay. Laying the last line carefully down, Luna placed her needle and ink to the side and then turned to her friend. Ginny was now staring down at Luna's wrist, interest in her every line. Even as she stared, Luna's menagerie faded, leaving only the cat with the stars in her eyes. She tilted her head and stared at Ginny before turning back to Luna, her eyes now a deep, lustrous green.
"Well, that's not very helpful," Luna scolded. "I can see that she's curious."
"That cat," Ginny trailed off.
"She's an emotion mirror. She lets me know what people are thinking, even if they don't show it. And if they do. I'm not always good at knowing what people feel," Luna blandly admitted. "Generally, it doesn't matter. There are much more important things to think about. But sometimes it might be useful."
Ginny stared at the cat, who was now licking herself.
"I'm still interested."
Luna smiled.
"I know."
Half an hour later, Ginny walked away with a little crescent moon on the inside of her forearm. She couldn't stop staring at its gorgeous blue, even though she could have sworn Luna used red ink. She knew it was something special when it turned purple in the rain, and then brightened to primrose as the day cleared. 2 weeks later, she cornered Luna in the corridor.
"It's yellow for sunny, purple for rain, red for stormy and blue for cloudy, but what does it mean when it glows?"
Luna just seemed to look through her, although she did respond.
"Why do things normally glow?"
It took an embarrassingly long time to realize the glow reminded her of a snitch. When Ginny was team captain, they always trained on the best days. Hagrid's heart was in the right place, Luna was sure. Her little cat had sniffed around, and deeming everyone boringly pure of heart, had curled up on her thigh. Its little purrs tickled. Pure of heart didn't mean happy, though.
"And I just don't know what he needs. I've only had him a week, but look! His horns are drooping, and his claws are just..."
"Is that a fire demon?"
Ron was staring at the creature, head tilted dramatically.
"There's no such thing as demons, Ron. He's an ifrit."
"A fritter? Well, how was I supposed to know that? Have you ever seen a..."
"Ifrit. Ifrit. Not a fritter. Haven't you ever read Hogwarts A History? There was one mentioned in Chapter 7, as well as the advanced reading for... Hagrid, does anyone know you have this? They're quite dangerous, you know, and they grow..."
Surely the fact that it looks wet is the problem? For a fire creature?
Luna nodded at Harry's outburst. Trust Harry to get to the bottom of the issue. Unfortunately, this resulted in Hagrid bursting into tears. Lots of them. It was quite fascinating the way they welled from his eyes and caught on his beard before dripping to the floor. Harry, Ron, and Hermione backed away, but Luna stayed where she was. The wash of the tears reminded her toes of sitting by a moonlit lake. It was nice, and the Ifrit liked it too. As Hagrid cried, the little Ifrit clawed its way towards the lake of tears. It really did have large claws. Hermione must be right, Luna decided with a head tilt. It would grow into those. But for the time being, it was just rolling about Hagrid's distress.
Look, I'm sorry, Hagrid, but we have to go.
Harry looked around, and while they all nodded their agreement, only Luna stayed seated.
Yes, if Harry's caught being out late again.
Hermione's voice was apologetic.
Oi, what about me?
You can look after yourself, Ronald.
See how she picks on me, Harry?
Hermione and Ron exited, bickering. Harry paused, hovering at Hagrid's side.
Look, I'm so sorry. I wish I knew.
Pulling a gaudily striped handkerchief from nowhere, Hagrid loudly blew his nose.
Yeah, sorry, Hagrid. I'll try and come back tomorrow.
Hagrid's rickety door closed with a bang, and Luna waited for Hagrid to stop crying and notice her. Half an hour later, he'd finished crying, made tea, and headed outside to feed whatever else he had hidden around. When he returned, Luna decided to start the conversation.
Your Ifrit is looking happier.
Hagrid jumped and cursed a blue moon.
Jumpin' jack fruits, Luna! When did you get here?
Luna let her gaze drift to the Ifrit. It now had a little fire along one horn.
I didn't leave.
You were here the whole time.
Hagrid looked flummoxed, while Luna just nodded serenely.
Don't you need to be back at school?
Luna nodded again.
Your Ifrit is looking happier, she repeated. Apparently all it needed was your tears. And look, now there's a little fire burning along its horn. Isn't that wonderful?
He's going to be all right.
Luna, who had no idea, kind of waved her head encouragingly. She assumed it was encouraging, although Hagrid burst into tears again. This time he covered his face with his hands, fat tears leaking out from behind his hands. A particularly viscous teardrop fell, and the Ifrit jumped on it, licking it up. Hagrid was obviously upset. The cat was looking at her with silver stars, and Luna was never sure what to do under these circumstances. Deciding that even large hands like Hagrid's could only hold so many tears, she pulled out her wand with a murmured,
"Accio handkerchief,"
before proffering it to her sobbing teacher.
"I didn't know that was what he needed. How can I look after them all if I don't know what they need?"
Sliding off her seat, Luna crouched down beside Hagrid.
"I think I might be able to help you with that. What's your favorite color?"
20 minutes later, Hagrid stared at the green and orange checkered box on his ankle.
"It doesn't tell me what to do."
Luna carefully explained again.
"It will only tell you if you ask it."
"I'm asking it now."
"What are you asking?"
Hagrid stared at her with blank eyes.
"To help."
Rising to her feet, Luna brushed down her robes.
"Then it's giving you the answer you need."
"Hagrid's gone potty."
Draco Malfoy's cultured tones echoed in the silent room. Well, it wasn't exactly silent. The frenzied scratch of quill and parchment was a constant soothing sound. Luna had her wand out and was tapping against her ink, enjoying the color change. It was currently an emerald green that reminded her of Nargles. It wasn't very nice of them to steal her homework, especially since Professor McGonagall didn't believe her. With a quiet tap, her ink became the color of a rackspurt, or at least what she imagined it would look like if it wasn't invisible. It was a delightful red.
"Completely batty. Make up your mind, Malfoy."
That was Harry.
He was responding because he was annoyed. He didn't like Malfoy. Not that Luna blamed him. Malfoy was rude. Not that it bothered Luna. But Harry was determined to do something. Luna wasn't quite sure what, but it must be right because Harry Potter was Harry Potter. And if she gave it any thought, which she didn't as a rule, she could concede that Malfoy was annoying. But in that kind of vague way, a toothless Hifflelop was annoying. Dipping her quill in the ink, she paused. Of course, there were some differences. Malfoy probably didn't live in a mushroom house. Probably.
Think you're so brave, Potter. I've had just about enough. Think you're so tough.
Voices rose all around her, and there was the swish of robes being pushed aside, and the crackle of wands being released, and the scrape of chairs across the floor. Luna didn't look up from her parchment. This was study hall, and since that time that Crab was given gills...
10 points from Gryffindor.
What? That's not fair. What about Slytherin?
20 for arguing.
Professor Snape!
And detention, Potter.
The bells chimed for the end of study hall.
Best not get into more trouble, Potter. It might not go well for you.
Next study hall was overseen by Professor Flitwick. Standing on the table, he surveyed the room, stern expression.
There was an incident last time. No more incidents.
Muttered, "Yes, Professor," filled the room, and then the sound of quills and parchment and the occasional curse, as someone's magical creatures textbook bit them. Luna was seated by the window. She meant to redo her history homework. Apparently, a 3-parchment paper on the bio-geo-magical history of the movement of Ringolobbers was unacceptable, as Ringolobbers did not exist. The professor was wrong, of course, but Luna was used to that reaction. End result, she had to rewrite it. On something to do with a lesser-known wizard. Ranelagh? Garandolf? Gandalf, maybe. But for now, the sun was shining, the sky was blue, and it was the perfect weather for ostrapod watching. Luna wasn't the only one drawn to the sunshine, although she was one of the few lucky enough to be seated by the windows. She touched her earrings gratefully. She knew the mark of Merlin, cross-stitched backwards in purple-dyed unicorn hair, would bring her luck. Humming softly, she heard a second-year Slytherin had teamed up with a third-year Hufflepuff to convince Professor Flitwick they should study outside. Letting the words drift over her, Luna stared outside. The clouds were pretty today, pale pink. If she were a cloud, she'd be purple. Or maybe pink. Something that was fluffy, anyway. She felt a few students drift past her, drawn to the beautiful day. The arguing students had lost their battle, having to content themselves with detention, and the professor was loudly telling everyone to move away from the window and to study. After all, it was study hall. Looking around, it was only Hermione Granger and a group of harried-looking sixth-years who were still at their desks. Everyone else was looking longingly outside. The professor jumped off his desk and was storming over when there was a collective gasp. Luna looked up, but she could no longer see. A giant head was now in front of her.
"I wonder if there's a shrinking spell for that."
Neville turned around.
"Shrinking spell? For what?"
Blinking slowly, Luna considered.
"Did I say that out loud?"
"What out loud?"
As Neville got more confused, Luna sighed. She wasn't going to see any ostrapods now. Not only was Neville in the way, but the students were getting louder. Ostrapods required peace and quiet, or they wouldn't show themselves.
"Oh, there he is."
He was Hagrid, who was striding along surrounded by Yinkies, Bellops, and a Firebird. Off to the side sat a Lapsicle. Suddenly he appeared to notice the Lapsicle had dropped behind, and to the astonishment of the gathered students, he started hopping.
"What is he doing?"
2 girls in Harry's year were standing cross-armed as they stared with twin sneers out of the window, watching as Hagrid hopped towards the Lapsicle.
The lapsicle just turned its feathery blue back to the man, who visibly drooped, before dropping to the ground.
Oh gosh, is he trying to eat his foot? He probably got poisoned by some other pet, and it's affected his mind. Doesn't he normally do that, though? What, eat his foot?
Hagrid's foot was indeed near his face, and his mouth was moving as he stared at it. Then, releasing it in a quick move, he lay on his back and kicked his feet in the air. Even separated by distance and glass, percussive howls could be clearly heard. Professor Flitwick, who had been attempting to usher students back to their seats, stopped to look at Hagrid's display.
I think... I'll be back. All students, return to your seats.
And with a flurry of fabric, the professor was gone. Of course, no one returned to their seats. Faces squished against glass in an effort to see more clearly. Quietly gathering up her belongings, Luna slipped out just as the chimes went, but not before noticing that the lapsicle had curled up beside Hagrid, happy and content as could be. No one really noticed that all of Hagrid's rescues flourished, and he got bitten a lot less. A little less. He still had a taste for grumpy beasts. Word of Luna's tattoos got around.
We want one.
It meant that people stopped calling her Loony, but it also meant that they talked to her. She was, much to her surprise, not entirely pleased with this. She was happy with her small group of friends, and she didn't really want more. Ginny was her closest friend, being in the same year as they were, but she could count Harry, Ron, and Hermione as friends. And Neville, possibly.
Are you listening?
She still spent a lot of time alone. It was just what she was used to. So on sunny days, like today, she sat up under the weeping willows and did homework. Or, like today, just scribbled thoughts into the margins of her transfiguration parchment. Butterflies flapped their wings at her, and clouds darkened before raining their tiny showers. She was careful what she drew, though. Once she had accidentally drawn a dragon, who burnt her Defense Against the Dark Arts homework. Professor Lupin hadn't believed her. Sighing, Luna looked at the girls in front of her. Twin pouts greeted her.
Excuse us?
Tilting her head, Luna appraised the interlopers. She recognized them.
You're in Gryffindor.
The one on the left nodded jerkily.
And you're in Ravenclaw.
The one on the right narrowed her eyes. Luna almost rolled hers. While she didn't really care about the houses with all the goings on, you did get to know the faces. Plus, Luna did look about the Ravenclaw common room. It paid to remember who hid her belongings and who didn't.
And you're in Harry Potter's year.
The one in Ravenclaw grimaced, but Luna ignored that. Many people read the Daily Prophet and believed the scandalous statements. The main reporter really didn't like Harry. Honestly, if people wanted a more balanced account, they really should read the Quibbler. However, that was neither here nor there. Tapping her quill against her lip, an iridescent turquoise drop uncoiled from the nib, slowly streaming down until it hit the parchment, where it turned into a small pond. A small firebird, perched on a sakura branch, watched the frilled rabcar frolic. There was a moment's silence before the Ravenclaw girl spoke.
Surely you know our names, Luna?
Do I?
Luna was vague on names. She had her friends, and that was still an odd thought.
Names are just one of those things. I only remember the interesting ones. Maybe I can guess them?
Luna wasn't sure she could. They didn't look very interesting, so why would they have interesting names?
We heard you did tattoos.
Luna blinked at them. Was that important? Even as she thought about it, her little cat peeked out from under her robe, then hissed before running back up her leg.
We, Padma, saw Hagrid's ankle. It's hard to miss,
the one whose name was probably Padma interjected.
He sits cross-legged all the time, and he just stares at it, and one of the boys asked him what he was looking at, and he pulls his leg up into the air. It's not very pretty.
Hagrid's legs? I know.
Well, that too, but the tattoo. It's not very pretty.
Hagrid's legs? I know.
Well, that too, but the tattoo. It's not pretty.
Can you do pretty?
And he said that you did it, and that it helped.
Luna wasn't sure why they were telling her about Hagrid's ankle. Of course she knew about it. She gave it to him. And although these two girls hadn't asked a question, they appeared to want an answer.
Lines form for those who need them,
Luna responded placidly. They stared at her blankly.
So, will you do it? Give us a tattoo?
The one who wasn't, Padma, demanded. Packing up her homework, Luna carefully capped her inks before throwing them in her book bag. She would not be inking anyone her cat didn't like.
The cat doesn't like you, she informed them, as she headed back to the Ravenclaw rooms.
That was what Ginny called being assertive. Probably. Maybe. She'd ask next time she saw her. Harry was spending more and more time alone. Luna knew this because she kept finding him in her silent places. Yesterday, he'd been in the Floofy watching hideout by the lake. The day before, in the crook of the most welcoming tree on the school grounds. It was the tree that had blossoms of all different colors, depending on how it felt. Professor Sprout told her that it was impossible that it was linked to something else, but Luna knew that the tree had feelings. When she sat in its fork, she could feel the tree's colors flowing beneath the bark. And when it was happy, the flowers were blue with little pink spots, and when it was angry, the flowers were red with yellow jagged lines. It wasn't hard to read the feelings of the tree. You just needed to listen. Harry had been seated in the fork, the flowers around him with red drops. It wasn't a mood she'd seen before, and it didn't seem like the time to intrude. And she would have left Harry alone tonight as well, but he was seated in her mushroom ring, and it was the night before the waning moon, and she really needed to make her colors.
Moonbeams have a softness, don't you think?
Harry startled, and Luna watched as he spun to face her, wand at the ready. Sighing, he slipped it back into his pocket, but sent her a cross look.
Luna, do you think maybe...
He was a nice boy. She'd have to ask her father to write a nice article about him. Not just one about Lord You-Know-Who, but about Harry and his politeness. All the articles in the Daily Prophet were probably hurting his feelings.
I have another spot behind the Quidditch field. It's not as nice as here, but you see, there's a mushroom ring here, and I really want more purple. Well,
Luna hesitated. Did she want more purple? Or more indigo?
Lavender? No, perhaps magenta.
Luna? Lips pursed mid-magenta. Luna turned her attention back to Harry. Well, to his ankle.
It's the orchid plum-spotted toadstool. Oh, I knew tonight would be perfect.
Kneeling beside Harry's feet, Luna carefully removed the toadstool. To her delight, there were a clump of rainbow autophytes. She knew tonight would be perfect. Sitting back on her heels, Luna set out her tools. Cauldron, paintbrushes of various sizes, small bottles decorated with flashing stars, a couple of miniature scythes seated on their velvet covers, ribbons of various size, and a soft wicker basket lined with jewel-toned velvets. The velvets matched the scythe covers.
Do you really need all those scythes, Luna? Do you actually need any?
Harry's voice was kind of choked, but Luna ignored that. She lined up the smallest scythe and frowned as Harry's shadow fell across a small autophyte. To get the most versatile inks, they had to be harvested perfectly.
Don't move, Harry.
Harry froze, and taking her time, Luna harvested the first of the autophytes.
Oh, Harry, you must be a good luck charm. It's the first time I've found a green one.
She could see all the shades swirling about in an incandescent glow before exploding and creating new shades. She could have looked at it all night, but resolutely she placed it on the velvet. There would be plenty of opportunity to look. Returning to the clump, Harry's shadow wavered again. Did he really want to stay standing over the autophytes? That was probably okay.
I don't mind if you want to stay in the mushroom circle, but you need to stay very still, Harry. I need to cut them at just the right spot, or the colors can escape, and that's what makes them so special.
Okay, okay, Luna. I'm glad you've found your special mushrooms, but I really don't want to just stand here. Can I leave the circle?
Of course.
Then why didn't you just... Harry's voice was loud, but he clenched his jaw and looked at the sky. Luna watched with interest as Harry managed to calm himself down.
The key is to never get that upset, she told him,
which just caused his face to turn bright red. Or maybe it was more of a crimson? Rose? Luna, is it all right if I step out of the circle?
Of course, she repeated.
Did it need to be clearer than that? Apparently not, because Harry stepped very carefully away. He didn't nudge the autophytes, Luna was pleased to note. And is it okay if I just sort of hang around? Harry gestured vaguely at the area. Luna nodded and bent down, ready to harvest the next one, when another thought occurred to her.
That stump over there? It's covered in crystal lawn, which sounds like it's sharp, and it looks like it's sharp, but it's really not.
Thanks. Luna returned to her harvest. Harry would make his own choices. 2 hours later, and she was on her last color. The little bottles were now a delight of blues and reds and purples and greens. Tipping the yellow ink into the last bottle, Luna capped and labeled them all carefully, before, with a quick flick of her wand, she cleared everything. Perfect. So, what were you doing? Jerking her head up, Luna was face to face with Harry.
Oh, you stayed?
Smiling slightly, he inclined his head, then pointed at her bottles again. So?
They're inks.
Nodding, Harry left his stump and knelt beside Luna. His hand hovered over one, and he looked at her inquiringly. At her nod, he grasped one and held it up to the moonlight. It was the green one. Luna watched Harry's face as he tracked the movement of one green and then another.
They're special. They're for permanence. For friends.
Luna's voice dropped, but Harry looked up sharply. Friends? Luna didn't respond, just stared at the blue. She liked blue. I get lonely sometimes. This time, Harry's words were soft. Luna didn't respond. She didn't think they were for her. Maybe there was something about moonlight that brought on Harry's confidences. I have friends. I know I have friends, but sometimes I just can't talk about it, can I? Everyone's scared, and I have to be Harry, the boy who lived Potter. But sometimes that's not me. I mean, sometimes I'm really scared, but I can't tell anyone. Who wants to hear that? I'm the face of a cause. I never wanted that. So what am I supposed to do? Harry trailed off, and Luna sat there, until her little cat kneaded at her shoulder. She liked Harry, and if Luna looked at her, she knew her eyes would be the blue of misery and... Do you ever feel like you're alone, Luna? And loneliness. The cat kneaded her again, and Luna set her inks out.
I'm never alone, Harry. And you don't need to be either.
Harry couldn't stop looking at the horntail that was seated on his chest. He was blowing little smoke rings and looking ever so pleased with himself. What does he do?
Do?
Well, Harry looked embarrassed. Ginny showed me her tattoo, and I know it tells the weather. Luna chewed her lip. She didn't really like to tell people what the tattoos did. While they were drawn a certain way, their owner was a part of the puzzle.
He'll keep you warm.
Warm? Harry immediately put his hand over the little dragon, and the little dragon glowed even redder. Harry's eyes went wide, but instead of drawing away, he stroked the little dragon's head.
What's his name?
Tilting her head, Luna looked at him.
How should I know? He's your friend.
Harry's face went blank for a minute, before a smile peeked from the corner of his lips.
I guess I'll just have to get to know him.
A few weeks later, she heard Ron loudly complaining that some guy called Fernando was doing something to Harry, since Harry woke up every bloody night and thanked him. Despite that, Harry looked more well-rested than he had since his first year. Luna just smiled when she saw Harry talking to his wrist, thanking Fernando for waking him from the nightmare.
Hi, Luna.
Raising her spectroglasses, Luna appraised the girls in front of her.
I'm Padma, and I'm Parvati.
You're in Harry's year,
Luna nodded at them.
You're in DA.
They glanced at one another, before one of them, Parvati, Luna thought, spoke.
Is it okay if we sit down?
Surrounded by parchments and textbooks and quills and the ingredients for her charms homework, there was really no space for interlopers. But Luna shrugged amicably, and with a flick of her wand, everything was, well, not neat, and perhaps not welcoming, although Luna was still unsure if she wanted to be welcoming. But there was room for the two senior girls to seat themselves. Which they did. Looking at each other, they had a silent conversation before one spoke.
We're sorry about last time, Luna.
Luna nodded. Vaguely, she recalled their meeting, but only because there were two of them, and because she'd told Ginny about it, and even when she explained that no one was using her because she wasn't doing anything for them, Ginny had still gotten upset, so she didn't tell her about the others. Not that it was important. Luna knew when she was going to draw on someone. Her little cat was peeking out from the sleeve on her robe. She was considering. She hadn't hissed or turned her back yet.
We were wondering if you would tattoo us. With people scared and people die.
Padma couldn't get the words out, although Luna knew what she meant. Students had been pulled out of class, and families were going missing. Wrapping her hands around her calves, she stroked her cat, who still hadn't turned her tail up at these two. Maybe it was time. She knew what they needed, but maybe...
Do you know what you want?
They looked at each other, then back at Luna.
A flower.
Nodding, Luna carefully uncapped three of her inks.
What sort of flower?
Rose.
Daffodil.
There was a shocked pause, and although Luna's expression didn't change, she was smiling. Her fish peeked under the hem of her robes, but deciding it was boring, swam back.
Sometimes differences are what makes us stronger. Do you ever look at the sky?
The twins looked at each other.
Sometimes?
I could paint it forever. It's a forever-changing canvas. Sometimes pale and gentle, others dark and dangerous, but always beautiful.
Luna swirled the yellow bottle. Gold and daffodil and cream all leapt out at her. Neither of her guests said a word, and when Luna looked up, there was a glazed, confused look on both their faces. It was an expression Luna knew well.
Do you have a favorite color?
Realization dawned, and the two spoke at once.
Orange. Red.
Padma bit her lip, while Parvati's jaw dropped. This was mildly interesting. They needed to talk more, that much was obvious.
Secrets come out at the worst of times.
As Luna chose her inks, the sisters stared at each other.
Padma, I thought you liked... I do, but it's not my favorite, and red, but purple is... It is, but not for... Legs out, please.
Although the twins kept staring at each other, they obeyed, and Luna found herself leaning over two very similar legs. She knew exactly what to do. A short time later, matching pansies decorated Padma's left angle and Parvati's right angle. The only difference was Padma's was yellow with purple, and Parvati's purple with yellow.
Pretty!
Both girls breathed, watching as the colors glowed.
What's your favorite color?
Purple,
Padma said, watching as Padma's pansy turned yellow.
Now lie.
Shooting her a surprised look, Padma still complied.
My favorite color is green.
All the yellow disappeared from the flower.
Oh!
Getting to her feet, Parvati held a hand out to her sister. Come on, let's go talk. They'd only taken a few steps away when they both turned back.
Thanks, Luna.
Luna's cat purred against her shoulder. As she stroked it softly, Luna couldn't help but think it felt nice, this helping people. Very nice. Malfoy's mocking laughter echoed as the Slytherin boys walked away. Neville stood there, fists clenched, face scrunched in frustration as he sought desperately for a response, and found none. Luna understood that.
Sometimes kind words are needed as well, she informed Neville, as she tattooed a red and gold circle around his middle finger.
Neville blushed.
There we go.
Luna sat back and eyed it critically. Neville stared at it too. He felt like he ought to say something. After all, Luna had just done something very kind. But what was he supposed to... As Neville sat there, caught in silence, the gold on his finger danced across, forming a word.
Oh.
Oh.
Thank you, he told Luna earnestly.
Luna smiled her reply. Many years later, when Hannah Abbott asked Neville to marry her, and he was lost for words, the ring transformed into uppercase yes. He followed its advice then, too.
I miss him, even when he's here.
Luna didn't look up from her spellbook. It wasn't as if she wished she'd worked harder in classes. These spells weren't for class. The heavy tome contained forbidden magic, but Luna was willing to break rules for the cause. Actually, Luna would willingly break rules to see a rainbow brillyback, but the cause was still very important.
And a worry, you know. I wish I could spend more time with him. I wish I could keep him safe. I know he had to go on the run, I know that, but I think we're kind of like warriors.
Seamus laughed into his drink.
Warriors? If my da could see me now, I wonder what he'd say.
Probably something wise.
Some parents said wise things. Not all, but some. Maybe Seamus's father was one of those.
Luna, do you think?
No one liked to come out and ask, Luna reflected. They talked around the topic, although it made no sense. Maybe it was because of Luna. Did she make it difficult? She didn't think so. But who could say what went on in other people's heads? Sometimes it felt like she didn't know what was going on in her own.
I just want to know that he's okay.
Putting the book aside, Luna turned her gaze on Seamus.
For every silver lining, there is a cloud.
Luna!
Seamus groaned at her. Pulling at her bottom lip, Luna considered. Perhaps that was too English of her.
You want to know if he's okay, but what happens if he's not?
Seamus's mouth dropped, and he stared aghast at Luna. But then his face firmed, and he unbuttoned his shirt, offering his chest. Nodding her acceptance, Luna set to work. 20 minutes later, the small silver bomb throbs in time to Dean's heart. Hermione never asked, and Luna never offered. Hermione certainly had seen Luna's work, admired it even. But, lips set in mutinous lines, she never asked. Until she did.
I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to put my faith in magic.
She waved away Luna's non-existent arguments.
Which is ridiculous for a witch, I know. But there is so much that has happened because...
Frustrated, Hermione waved her hands in the air, and a small flower pot exploded on the other side of the square. Blinking, Luna watched as Hermione's hair appeared to grow bushier before it lay flat. Taking a deep breath, she turned a tight smile on Luna.
I don't want something like that. I just...
She shifted her gaze to the ground. I want something so I'm connected. But I don't want...
Luna's cat headbutted her shoulder, and Luna nodded. She knew what Hermione needed. Straining over her shoulder, Hermione could just see the hourglass. The sand glowed a soft purple and pulsed along with her heartbeat. Hermione felt soothed just looking at it. She did have one question, though.
Why is it on its side?
Sometimes it's hard to sit still and watch the clouds.
Luna really did like the clouds. These days, she didn't watch them much. Instead of dancing and changing at the mere whisper of a breeze, they were stagnant, watchful and heavy with anger and malice. It wasn't meant to be that way. Hermione scowled.
Look at the clouds. Sometimes I wonder, Luna, if you are even aware of what...
Hermione stopped short, a flush covering her face. Luna took it in stride. Not all scars were on the outside, of course. Taking a deep breath, Hermione let it out with a whoosh. When she spoke again, her voice was much milder.
A lot is going on. There's no time to look at the clouds. Maybe later.
Hermione, as always, missed the point.
You'll never run out of time this way.
Hermione opened her mouth to argue, then shut it and smiled, looking back at the little hourglass.
You know, Luna, maybe you're right.
Maybe I won't.
When it was all over, Hermione did learn to stop and look at the clouds. And when she forgot, her little timer would stand itself up, the glowing grains of sand flowing from one side to the other. Because, of course, there was time. The bells chimed merrily, announcing a guest. Luna didn't look up from where she was sketching. Although she didn't use parchment, at least not when she was on the front counter, she couldn't forego her quills, even if the muggles did look at her strangely. She didn't acknowledge the newcomer. Most people came in and looked around without wanting anything. Rolf said she would get more customers if she spoke to them, but why did she need to do that? This way she only got the right people.
Seen any blibbering humdingers recently, Luna?
Lifting her head, she was met with Dean Thomas's smiling face. Seamus was half hidden behind him, but smiling just as broadly. Before she could answer the question, and, on further reflection, it wasn't really a question. Neither of the men seemed like they really believed in blibbering humdingers. She'd have to see if Rolf wanted to go on a trip any time soon. Dean moved in and, carefully placing her quill to the side, pulled her into a hug. Her cat fought for prime position on her collarbone, but the star sprite beat it. After a small... well, it couldn't be a catfight if only one participant was a cat. Disagreement... both agreed that Dean was suitable. He didn't tell her what he wanted, just followed her to the table, where she quickly got to work. As he left, hand in hand with Seamus, the firecrackers on his collarbone pulsed in time with Seamus's heartbeat.
"How do you manage to do two sets of taxes?"
Luna complained when George Weasley walked into her studio. Somehow he'd managed to promote Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes in both the magical and muggle worlds. Luna was about ready to give it up. George grinned at her.
"I've got an accountant."
Luna looked interested.
"I haven't heard of that. Is it a type of fairy?"
Laughing, George took the seat opposite her before his face fell still.
"I'm a lucky man, Luna. I know that. I've got more nephews and nieces than I know what to do with. And I've even got myself a goddaughter."
Without asking, George flipped open his wallet. Photos of his family cascaded down.
"Weasley genes are strong," she noted,
and there was a certain red-headed, freckled similarity to many of the children. Not all. Teddy Lupin's green-spotted hair stood out. But enough. Plus, Luna knew many of the children. Although their lives had all drifted, they made an effort to keep in touch. It helped that tattoos were addictive, and Luna was the best. The thought was too much, even in the privacy of her own head. But she was, really, quite good. George hadn't noticed her mental journey and just laughed again, although it was flatter this time.
See them all the time. I'm the funny uncle.
His mouth opened, but no words came out. He sent an embarrassed look in Luna's direction before. Tilting her head, Luna appraised him.
I'm one man doing a two-man show.
George didn't look at her. His sorrow was still too new, too real.
Can you give me my second part? Just something to finish my jokes. I know it's not. It'll be...
He trailed off before finishing firmly.
It'll be better.
Luna waited until he looked back at her.
No, it won't.
Some things magic can't fix. Everyone knew that. Luna knew that. And sometimes the mundane can heal. George cried when he walked out of the shop, the non-magical china cup placed directly over his heart. It had shattered, even as Luna inked it onto his skin, but she mended it with gold. It was broken, but still beautiful. Eventually, Luna gave up on the muggle side of the business.
It was too hard. She couldn't talk about anything. How she made her inks, what the images were of. And admittedly, most wizards hadn't heard of a wrinkled Sliggerfeld, but they at least sort of knew what she was talking about. Plus, the business had expanded, in a magical direction.
So she'd moved back to Diagon Alley. She drew on parchment, and now her designs roared and smoked and flew as they were meant to. She'd kept the accountant, though. The bell still chimed merrily, and Luna still ignored the people who entered. They'd talk to her if they needed to.
Long time no see, Luna.
Putting her parchment aside, Luna looked into the face of her guest. Her tattoos didn't even bother hiding their interest as they moved to look around sleeves and over necklines. Draco swallowed nervously, but he didn't back away.
I won't take your money,
she informed him. Her tattoos nodded approvingly. Blinking, he reached behind him for the door, and Luna frowned at him.
Where are you going? I can't work on you out there.
She didn't wait to see if he would follow. She knew he would. Sometimes there's nothing to say. And as Luna stared at the mess of Draco's arm, at the scars that cross-hatched the mark.
I know you can't fix it. I don't want you to fix it, he hurriedly added.
I can tell you're nervous, Luna informed him. You're blinking a lot.
Draco let out a stuttered laugh, muttering,
That's how you can tell.
Shaking his head, he closed his eyes and let his head drop back. He took a few deep breaths before he looked back at Luna.
When I see this, all I see is mistakes. My mistakes. I know I can't atone, but I can't keep doing this, either.
She had seen the fresh scar across the mess of healed and healing. Luna took her time. Gathering her blessed pots, she mixed yarrow and peony into the ink, before muttering a little health charm over them. Draco looked like he wanted to ask, then thought better of it, settling his arm in place before looking resolutely away.
Sometimes it's good to see how things change. There is strength in sorrow, in forgiveness.
While he didn't acknowledge her words, he did turn back to his arm, and didn't turn away as she covered it in white tulips, hyacinth, and daffodils. She felt rather than saw him relax as she added buds, ready to burst into bloom when he was in the mood. And in amongst it all, snakes coiled around stems and turtles hid behind the leaves. Luna didn't say anything when his tears fell, a diamond python skimming the surface and blinking soulfully at him. She worked well into the night. Rolf sent an owl, and she sent it straight back. She worked until her inkwells ran dry and her creatures had gone to sleep,
and until Draco blinked sleepily at her. She worked until he wouldn't be able to hurt himself again.
"I don't know what the future holds," she told Draco, "but you have more choices than you think."
Draco jerkily nodded his thanks before coming to his feet. He stared at his arm for a long moment, startling when the turtles joined, creating a shield where the dark mark once burned.
"Luna?"
"You have choices," she repeated.
Draco drew a deep breath and nodded his thanks once more. Luna smiled as snowdrops bloomed on his arm. He would be okay. The bells chimed again, and Rolf came tumbling in.
"Luna, a blank owl in return is not okay. It doesn't tell me anything."
"That's true. Perhaps there was nothing to know."
Rolf opened his mouth, then closed it again.
"Are you going to work today?"
"I am at work."
"Do you want to stay at work?"
Rolling her neck, Luna thought about it. If the door was locked, no one would come. If they were meant to see her, they would come back. What she really wanted to do... Holding out a hand, she smiled at her husband.
"Let's go watch the clouds."
And they did.